Hi friends, we'll start with chapter 10 on sampling. This is overall under the subject of marketing research that we are studying. Let's understand what is sampling. So it's defined as a sample is a finite part of the statistical population. Finite is for a specific number. Statistical population means the population that matches your sampling or the segment criteria. So as I have given, I give an example. Say out of 10 million vehicles on the Indian road, each, if hatchback is your sampling or sampling population, then say that this is 35%. So that 35% of 10 million is your population. Now, for doing certain research to understand the automobile buyer's views, you cannot go to this 35% of the people. You have to select some numbers within this, which is your sampling numbers. So that's what this is. A sample is a finite part of the statistical population whose properties are studied to gain the information about the whole. So after you meet this 500 or 1000 people as a sample, what you find and what you then apply on the population, that is the science of marketing research, and that is what we have studied, and we are now at a stage where you have to understand every aspect of sampling. Briefly, I have covered few parts. We will get into it a little more detailing. When dealing with people, it can be defined as a set of respondents selected from the large population. So few selected people from very large population that matches the given criteria of the segment. Sampling is an act. That is, what do you do? What is sampling? Is an act, process, or a technique of selecting a suitable respondent. So the moment you go out in the market and you meet somebody and interview, that's the sampling. So it's a process or an act wherein you select the right person who represents your whole, means you represents the, your entire population, for getting the required data captured from him, acquiring the data by asking him various questions, or so as per your you know, research design, whatever the technique that you are going to apply, you acquire a data. So it's an act or a process or a technique where you meet those select few, which is a part of your complete population, which represents various traits, characteristics and definition of your segment, and then you obtain the relevant data from them. So sampling helps to determine the corresponding values of the population and plays a vital role. It plays a vital role for the marketing research, wherein it allows you to understand what is your research problem and a solution to that research problem. Essential assumption here is that by meeting those few which represents your sampling population, sampling numbers, whatever the finding, the inferences that you derive will be applicable to whole of the population. A population is a group of individuals, persons, objects which form your chosen segment. Means they have those qualities, traits, demographic or geographic or whatever other behavioral personality variables that you think are the one who's going to buy your product. The purpose of sampling is to draw the conclusion about the populations from the samples. So I have explained you that whatever will be derived out of this will be applicable to the whole population as a whole. Sampling is to be done carefully, of course, by an experienced qualified professionals who's qualified. Means he understands what is random sampling, what is stratified random sampling. We will study them as we go forward. But he has to decide that this person is valid for him to answer his question. Not like, you know, I must cover so many numbers, I better, you know, cover meeting any and everybody. Or even if there are slight flaws, it's okay. So no, don't. That is not right. Because to get an high accuracy, you must meet the right sample. Process, of course, involves like you must first define the problem, population. So that is, you must define your segment. We have studied what is segmentation in marketing generally. So whatever demographic, geographic, psychological, behavioral, whatever that can define his, characteristics that is identifiable from the mass. You can develop that as a cluster. So that's what you have to define your population, develop the sample frame. So you have to decide who's your sample. How many numbers, etc. So there's a sample size. So sample frame, again, it may not be that probably all the traits you try to reproduce in your sampling your numbers or a frame. You may be keen to know certain aspects from the certain specific traits of the people. So whatever is, you define that. Okay, who's your sample unit? you must again reproduce the geographical, behavioral, psychological, whatever that segmentation parameters, so that the person who has to now decide this person is right for me to get an answer is able to determine. Size is again a scientific approach to that. Statistics helps you to derive what is a right sampling approach, but this is applicable only if you are doing under the probability approach to sampling. If you are doing a non-probability approach to sampling where convenience, geographical or various other approaches are available, you can do that. But it's like in all a number that you are going to approach, so that whatever finding that you give is reasonably applicable to the large population. Specifying sampling method, again sampling method is conveyed in that random, stratified, random, whatever. So we will, I think, study this as we move forward. We are going to touch on what is sampling design. We have earlier studied them basically. So now let's understand, design is a process of forming a sample structure. So entire structure that you develop, which will convey various aspects, some of them what we studied earlier, and analyze and also gives you the way you analyze the thing, etc., and how the interpretations will be validated, supported, verified, etc. Sample design can be simple or complex depending on the type of information that you need. Sample design may make use of features of overall population, if not proportional representative, depending upon the necessity of a large sample could be drawn. So what it gives you an idea as to what is my sample population, so who is my segment, what is my sample population, out of that what is the sample number. It also tells you how are you going to select them, where are you going to meet them, etc. So those aspects are covered in your sample design. Not only that, it also says by how this data gets analyzed, what is that validation method, what is that confidence level at which these samples are going to work, etc. So those aspects are covered. So it tells you that the limitations of this sample is this, etc. also. So that's the significance of a sample design. Sample size, sample design, you must also be mentioning what is that number that you are going to cover. That's a key aspect. One cannot just blankly or blindly estimate. There are statistical tools available. It depends on your overall population awareness that you have. So you must know here what is the large population, or what is that population, what is that number that represents your segment. You must be able to really know that number. From there, it is possible to derive the right number that you are going to meet. So there is a designer, the research design also will have sampling design, which will specify to you that number that needs to be met. Please remember, it has a relevance to the cost also. So many times there is a jugglery that happens between the organization and the research agency, wherein the essence is that you try to optimize on the number. So where somewhere the research agency will have to start giving less number that needs to be covered, but beyond a point they should say, "Bhai, beyond a point this is not going to work for you." So it's like that's the number which is essential for you to arrive an inference and a conclusive findings which is applicable to the entire population. Amount of variability in the population is also affects the accuracy. So if your sample definition is not very correct, and if there is lead to be various variations that one notices when they go in the field, and then you try and meet the people who may not be fully right, and that leads to your little bit of issue in your sampling, the data collection and the result thereof. It's a universal fact that a single survey, it is not possible to cover the entire population. So however, the result from the survey must be applicable to the entire population. So that's the importance of the sampling size. If that is not going to be possible, if your confidence index is not going to be strong that enough to tell you that this is applicable to the entire population, then there is something wrong in your determining the sample size in itself. Factors of which affects the sampling size are friend, like specific situation in which the sampling is carried out. So it's like knowing fully well, however there is a market condition, or however there is some aspects which is going to hamper your selection, etc. So you must be aware of such issues and then accordingly carry out or decide your sampling size. So other aspects like expected level of accuracy. Now suppose that earlier we have in one of the example the confidence index. So like whether you want to operate a 95% confidence, 90% confidence, or 80% confidence. So that's the one aspect that is generally being linked to your sample size. It conveys to you that the findings of this research can be applied at this confidence level, yani to the entire population. So now that the moment you say 95%, 90%, the sample size becomes large. The moment you drop that 90 to 80%, you may see a significant drop in your number. So that's the relation between the kind of an accuracy or precision that you are seeking. Scope and limitation of the research, yani. So it also depends on what limitations or the scope that you have defined for your research. That will determine the number, either it will make the number large or vice versa. Time utilized for conducting the research. On other hand, there is always a tussle between the organization seeking the research vis-a-vis the agencies, the time that they take. Yani. Now, if beyond a point, organization keeps really a hard pressure on you about completing the research in specific time, etc., then you need to take a call also on the sampling number, because the coverage takes its own time. Features of the population, so how good the defined features of the population are valid across all geographies, etc., that remains a mute question, and that also may determine your sampling size. Yeah. So researchers can arrive at the decisions to correct the sample size after considering the merits and demerits of the above. While he sits on to designing the sample size decision, follow above aspects needs to be really considered by him. Or it may happen over a period of time before your proposal, after your proposal, and then between finalization, it may undergo a change. Sampling methods, as you see, probability and non-probability I have mentioned. Probability sampling is the method. It gives the and all members of the population, all member of the sample population, that is all member of your segment, it gives an equal opportunity to become a part of the research. And non-probability sampling is that there is no probability, it is done using any other means other than the probability means. So this non-probability sampling methods are very qualitative in nature. They are designed to serve specific aspects, specific limitations, specific constraints in mind. Yeah. They are less popular because many times the findings of the research are turned out to be not applicable to the entire population. So that's the reason why non-probability is not really preferred well. So this may say, for example, while I was into market research and we wanted to do certain research about the cement manufacturing, and there was one particular chemical on which we were doing a research. And now the cement manufacturing is spread across India. We were based in Mumbai. We were supposed to produce the report in a very short time, have the demand estimation about it. We know that chemically this is an equation. So for every ton of cement produced, you will require so many tons of this particular chemical. Sense was to just really see the switch that is going to happen once this chemical gets introduced. And to study that, we had a choice, either I really do a scientific sampling and then arrive at a number and then send my data collecting people across India, or we did western region specific centering, sampling, because we want to just understand what will trigger the switch, at what level, how much time will organizations take to switch, etc. We wanted to understand that part and then derive at a possible switching pattern for first year, second year, fifth year, etc., so that we are in a position to derive the demand of this thing. So that's a convenience, a geographical sampling, you can say. So as you can see that there are certain types or the certain features of this samplings. So probability sampling has to satisfy this kind of a features. Like it should be random, of course, that's the probability part of it. Systematic means it has been done in a specified order, stratified. So it's a methodology in which you try to sample even random manner. The area is specified, the multi-stage of sampling, if involved, it is specified. On the non-probability side, it is either purposive or quota-driven, or as I said, simulated, or it's like a multi-segment. You just take certain number of this thing and then you go and meet people out. So these are the features of distinct features of both these sampling methods. Different types of popular sampling methods we will quickly try to understand. Cluster sampling, convenience sampling, simple random, stratified, systematic random, quota sampling, and judgment sampling. So we will take them one by one. Cluster is like you create a cluster, you obtain selected cluster from the population on the basis of the simple random sampling. The sampling comprises of senses of each random cluster selected. For example, a cluster may be a state, village or a school. One may decide to select all elementary schools within the Maharashtra state as a cluster. So, it's like, you know, developing a uniformity that will give you an access to similar nature of this thing, and then you know that where they are, you know, kind of. So that's what is a clustering. Or if I say that, you know, I want to research the laptop feature, you know, introduction among MBA students within the state of Maharashtra in a town A, kind of a this thing. So then it is like a cluster is town name is Mumbai and, you know, few maybe other city like Pune, etc. So that's a cluster, that my sample cluster is Mumbai and Pune. And then it's an MBA students there. So the MBA college admission number which are there, that's my population of a sample. So that's a cluster sampling. You know where these people are available, what kind of people are there. Convenience sampling is, this is sampling is made on the by the researcher voluntary. It cannot be extrapolated. You cannot really extrapolate this to the entire population. It is done with certain convenience in mind. My that cement example which I gave you, you can take it as a convenience sampling or geographic sampling. There is a chance of bias, of course, in that where the right person is selected or not selected becomes a question. So that's the very undependable way of sampling. Simple random is, as I said earlier, the probability, and probability gives an equal chance of event occurring. So equal chance is available to entire population to participate being a sample. So simple random is like, there is no other aspects being considered. It is done random, means as in when kind of a scenario. So it may happen that you meet one person who is the right sample, the next person you may meet is also a right person, but after that 10 people whom you met may not be the right person, later on 11th person is the right person, then maybe 30 people whom you met, you turn out to be not a right people sample, and then you meet another one. So that's a random, it's like goes on as you get exposed to the people and you try to approach them, you try and check the validity of him as a sample, and then you conclude he's a right sample. So that's the simple randomization approach to your capturing the respondent. So that's why it is known as a simple random sampling. It's a free from bias, you have ensured that required prerequisites are met. However, simple random sampling using is a complex time consuming process, means you have to every time verify certain aspects. That much interaction has to happen, and later on you realize, so as I said, after that maybe 10 people whom you met, you realize he is not a right sample, so you have to stop continuing the interview. Systematic random sampling, there is a basic systematization that is brought into it. By selecting one unit from a random basis and choosing additional elementary unit at evenly spaced interval until the desired number of units are obtained. So say for example, selecting a sample every 10th unit of the 50th unit or 100th unit after choosing the first unit randomly. So first unit you choose randomly, after that you say that every 50th person whom you met, you will interview. So or every 100th person you met, you will interview. So that's how, so there is some systematization that is brought into it, and it has been like made more practical vis-a-vis the random sampling. Stratified sampling is like a very practical, most used approach to the sampling. It is done by independently selecting from each population, certain selecting a separate simple random sampling from each strata of the population. So you realize your population, of course you know your segment, you realize the segment population. From there also you try to develop certain strata, certain classification. Now from that classification you try to obtain the desired sample. So a population can be divided into different groups, maybe based on their income or their characteristics, etc. And then you say, okay, by from them I will get so many people, again on a random basis. So it's a stratified random sampling, as they say. Quota sampling, this method of stratified sampling in which a selection within the strata is non-random selection. And so quota, in the earlier one there was a randomization, here there is no randomization. It is a pure quota, number has to be achieved. How you get and where you get, or after how many people interval, or how many people sequence in which you select, etc., nothing like that. It's a quota, number has to be met. Yani. Less costly, easy to administer, relatively quicker to find, and it's independent of sampling framed existence. Yani. So, it doesn't really delimit you or limit you in terms of whom to select, etc. It just tells you by, go to Juhu and meet 20 people. So, it's like assume that there are people with high income groups and all are there, and you're one of the sampling need is there, parameter is there, okay, by the high income people should be met. Yani. So, having done that, you go to Juhu and do your quota sampling. Yani. So, that's a bit of a number that has been got to it. Both geographical this thing is done and randomization is removed and you are given access to achieving the sample quota. Yani. Judgment sampling, this sampling procedure is exactly opposite to simple random. Here, your researcher makes a deliberate choice of a sample. This method is effective for providing illustrative samples or case studies. However, this method is highly prone to bias. Examples are often small and cannot be extrapolated. So, it's a judgment sampling. The researcher has a choice to approach somebody and, make him convinced to participate in the research and then get this thing executed, etc. Maybe okay where you are doing some in-depth study, or maybe you are okay when you are into kind of case discoveries and those kind of thing. But when it comes to decision making, where the entire finding of a research is supposed to be applicable to the entire population, then this method tends to be not of help to you. Area sampling. So, area sampling is, as I said, the geographical this thing. In a particular method, entire market is divided into various geographical markets, and then you are being given certain areas and you are being asked to go and do the required number of sampling into that area. More popular in B2B industrial research, where at times, as I told you, it is very clear that once you go to say like Chennai, you will get a lot of automobile related people. Yani. So, when you go to the south and all, maybe cement and those kind of people are more. So, those kind of aspects drive your sampling design. So, area sampling is also one approach. Multi-stage sampling. This is carried out at a different phases of or the stages of the entire research. The result of each stage are integrated at the end. Yani. So, your research design is that, okay, why you have a multi-part data collection. Now, at each stage, and you get into sampling. The sampling method may remain same, but it is a multi-stage sampling, wherein it will be done where you complete first leg of, say, 100 contacts, do your whatever data collection, collation and all. Then, after that, you again go and do the another set of 100 or 200 numbers. And that's how you built in. What is said is like the research, sampling consumed a lot of time. The integrated at the end. Yeah. And so, this 100, next 200, next 400 findings are at the end integrated to derive one common finding at the end. Yeah. Naturally, time consuming. Maybe there are needs for things like to ensure that the research is in the right direction, likely to yield, not prone to any sampling or design error, etc. In such case, the multi-stage sampling is been practiced. Yani. I have given one example. If a survey is conducted at a national level, for sampling and surveying can be conducted in different metro cities. At the end of the survey, results from different sampling can be integrated. So, at a national level, the sampling and surveying can be conducted in different metro cities and in different time zones. Yani. So, different time phases. You may do certain areas in the month of Jan, you later do certain in the month of Feb, etc. But at the end, the finding will be a one consolidated common finding. So, that's the multi-stage sampling. Purposive sampling, it is designed to specifically satisfy your specific purpose. And the selection is on the basis of controllable features that are proportionate to the total number of cases that you have as a sample. However, it serves a specific purpose, useful for industrial as well as at times useful for not so costly consumer items, etc., where you basically say essentially wants to understand the auto accessories usage, or you want to understand the furnishing approach, etc. Now, in such case, you can probably have the purposive sampling, where too much of the sampling framing is not really required. Replicating sampling is, this method is very useful when comparative abbreviations are to be used from the same population. For example, to different sales territories will be given to different sales personnel for testing and comparing of consumption of an Escape. And so replicating sampling is just the approach. You have a sample frame or the design being decided. However, it will be done in two different market in the same manner. At the end, again, the findings are consolidated to give you the comprehensive picture. So, the advantage is you are still able to compare also. So, not only consolidation, you are able to compare also the findings. Overall, the frame being same, if this finding reveals that there is a variation, then you need to really look at your research design and other aspects well. Or it reveals to you something, what is that is impacting the change in the findings. And so then if that is a one in which it, you get an answer as to what you need to manipulate to get the favorable change towards your, then you achieve your research objective. Because ultimately marketer wants to know what change he has to do to achieve favorable consideration for himself. So having understood various methods of sampling, we come to a stage of now understanding the characteristics of a good sample design. I'm sure like while we discuss this, you could drive some of them in your mind. One is a good goal orientation. So it should be easy to achieve the goal. Yani, you don't make the sampling frame so complex that your researcher will have to meet at least 20 people before finding the right sample. So you make it, keeping also goal in mind, simple, lucid, easy to find and kind of approach to your sampling frame. Measurability means there is a measurability to it. Yeah, so, you know the total population, you know whom you met, at what is that stratified sampling or random sampling methods, etc. So, you overall have a good measurability and you can establish that this research is done on a sound sampling parameters and therefore the findings are applicable to the whole as such. Practicality, yes, you have to take a practical note. Yeah, so, where to meet yani, or where will you find your sample, etc. Or even this, you know, some of the techniques we saw, purposive or, you know, area, etc. falls under making the sampling more practical. Economy, so each tweak in finding the sample will add to your cost. Each number that also will add to your cost. Yeah. So, sampling design has an element of number. And the way you search that people for meeting that quota of number determines your total cost. Yeah. So, that total cost is reflecting into your total research cost. Yeah. So, the sampling this thing also will at times be try to be economical and practical. So, that overall you try to optimize, if not just blindly minimize the expenditure. So, goal orientation. Oriented to the research objective, that is obviously it should serve your research objective. It should get you the answer to your research problem for which you have designed a very good questionnaire or checklist, etc. So it matches with your survey design, whether it's a questionnaire, personal interview, telephonic or, you know, those kind of things. So it should also tailor to that aspect of your survey. Filtered for the survey conditions, you should know what is where kind of thing, and then from there you have to pull your sampling numbers, etc. So, goal orientation will help you to take that in mind. Choice of population is like whom to meet, or rather the the segmentation traits that you decided, and having done that, from there what is that you draw as your sampling unit frame, and that will decide your success rate. So, choice of population, choice of sampling population also you can say. The measurement, yani. So overall, how are you going to measure the sampling, the not only sampling, the test that you are going to do about the data validity to the relevance of the data and all those things, those statistical techniques that we studied. So that will determine also, so that's a goal, yani. Okay, you have to achieve a good number. If I had to achieve 95% confidence or significance level, etc., so then my number has to be therefore higher. Yani. So that's a goal orientation. Procedure of choosing a sample, again, goal orientation means you keep it in a way that it is easy to identify the right sample in a random manner. Measurability, a sample design should be enable the computation of valid estimates of its sampling validity. Generally, such validity is expressed in the form of standard errors. Yani. The sampling design should be enable to the computation of valid estimates. So, valid estimates. So, when you do the demand estimation or when you do a quantification of your analysis, there is a standard error, this thing. This is a measurability aspect of the sampling. Sampling should be able to tell you why the chosen sample numbers are right, what is that confidence level that it is going to give you, and standard of error likely. So, that's the measurability aspect. Practicality aspect is like the design sampling. So, who the sample is, you know, where will you get that, etc. Follow up in the actual operations of the field. And you should see from field operation perspective. It should guide them to select the right sample, etc. Uniformity in the final selection of the sample unit. So, how to achieve uniformity of the final sample. So, even in random sampling, etc., or stratified sampling, etc., at the end, you have to ensure that chosen sample has certain universality, and that universality helps you to confidently apply the findings on the entire population and derive the desired benefit or desired action, which is a reflection in your sample-based evaluation or the outcome of your sample research. So, that's the essence of being a practicality. Economy has to do with, as I said, objective is to always optimize, not blindly control the cost. However, to keep that low, and the number and the way to select a sample, two aspects are generally tweaked so that you get maximum or say optimum balance in your sampling design. Advantage and disadvantages of sampling. The advantages are many. Not that for people like Vani to really get into it, and they are self-explanatory. Disadvantages are non-individualistic approach, occurrence of checking the omission, and impossibility of checking the omission. So, non-individualistic approach. Yeah. So, here individuality is not in the frame. Certain segment frames and certain sampling frames are driving your selection. So, that's what is an issue. Occurrence of checking the omission. How to check what has been omitted, etc. There is no real science or the approach available for that. Impossibility of checking the omission. You really cannot check the omission unless you really increase your back-checking verification approach strongly. Otherwise, it's omission checking as to what was sacrificed in selecting this sample or the respondent remains a challenge at the central place where the coding and, you know, computation, etc. has to happen. So, that's the disadvantage of sampling. Moving forward, calculation of the sample size. It's one important aspect. It's always common and difficult question. How many should I meet, Yana? And as a sample, in general, larger the sample size, more closely the sample data will match your population inference. Yana. In practice, however, the researcher needs to work out as to how many responses one should really collect to minimize the cost, optimize the output. Yana. And optimize output is applicable to your larger population. So, that's the balance that the sampling design guy has to derive. Yana. So, how does he go about? So, the calculation of an appropriate size depends on number of factors that are unique to each survey. Yani. So, you have a survey objective in mind, you know who your population is. Now, you have certain other aspects linked to it, standard errors or confidence level, etc. And certain difficulty or opportunity in terms of sampling. Put together, you will be able to derive the number better. Yani. The three most important factors are the budget, the level of accuracy, and the confidence in the research findings. So, budget naturally derives a number. Second is the level of accuracy. So, at what is that level of accuracy you are looking at into your research finding? When you say level of accuracy, is your ability, you know, there should not be sampling error, there should not be database error, etc. And whatever that you derive has to have a good accuracy base, yani, so that it can be taken for a valid inferences and insight generation. So that's what it means. How confident is the researcher in the result? Yani. So at the end, whether you want applicability of this research to be also on the large population, if yes, then the number also accordingly gets impacted. So these are the three core factors that determines your number or the size of the sample. What is sampling error? If you have to understand, comprises the difference between the sample and the population. In particular, it happens due to solely some units getting selected who's not matching the given sampling criteria. Sampling error makes the sample unrepresentative of its population. So chosen person who's answered this is unrepresentative of the population. So that's the simplest of understanding that you can have. Sampling error is the error caused by the observing the sample instead of the whole population. So what it is trying to tell you is the error that you generally occur while you observe a very small number of people. Even in the observation approach, there are certain numbers that you must have to have as a threshold number. If you do not do that, you incur what you call a sampling error. An estimate of, say, dipsticks, and people talk about that dipstick research and all suffer from this kind of sampling error. An estimate of a quantity of interest, such as an average or percentage, will be generally subjected to sampling error. So, if you are deriving at the end an average or percentage of yes, no, etc., then there is a high probability that your data will have the effect of sampling error in it, yani, built in. So, because samplings are always at the end tweaked to optimize on time, resource, cost, etc. So, that's the reason why the sampling error will be also reflected in the finding and makes the entire applicability of it on the larger population questionable. Sampling error takes place due to variations from the sample to sample. There is also sample to sample variations. And something you are allowed to go in this, something you allowed other aspect to go in other sample whom you met, etc. And you still considered him as a right sample to answer. The sampling error has occurred. Yani. The likely size of the sampling errors can be controlled by taking certain larger sample of the population. So, you have slightly larger than required sample size. Very often not accepted by the requisitioning company. Two kinds of error, the sampling error and non-sampling error. So, let's understand them. To reduce errors often requires increased expenditure. So, either you have to have larger number or give larger time frame. Both these have an impact on the expenditure at the cost of the reliability. So, you are trying to balance the both. So, what is sampling error? Error that is caused by bias or by a chance. Yani. The chance, that is the random error, exists no matter how selection procedures are carefully crafted. So, you decide your sampling frame, you gave the idea of sampling methodology, you have given various other supportings for your researcher to verify before really initiating a survey. But all this said and done, you on a chance you have met not so right person, so that's the random error. Basically, sampling units and non-selection of some of the units from the population. So, you have chosen some not so right people as a sample. So, that's also sampling error. Due to an error of bias or improper size of sample, sample population numbers are tweaked, which has created a bias in itself. So, that's a sampling error. Means you are not meeting right number of people so that the finding can be generalized on the larger populations. It's the meaning of that. So, that's what the size which was tweaked is prone to the sampling error, and therefore it is known as a sampling error. Non-sampling errors, the main non-sampling errors could be due to incorrect definition of the research problem. So, research problem is not defined well. So, you are able to not arrive at a various aspects correctly, and that is leading to non-sampling error. Yeah. So, you chose probability, non-probability sampling, or you chose some other aspects which is a result of your research problem not being well defined. Incorrect population, yani, you have not defined your population well. Sampling frame is not correct. You have not defined who your right sample is. surrogated information means you collect information in a manner that is not directly, and it is collected in terms of asking them some indirect questions, and you expect an answer, and then you are trying to apply that answer on the large population. So it's a surrogacy related issues. Many times means there are certain questions where answers are compulsory and the respondent is preferred not to answer. This happens generally into telephonic or internet based surveys. So that leads to the non-probability sampling error or non-sampling error. Yes, there are methods statistically that how to calculate at that time the answer, but that's okay. It still is a non-sampling error. Incorrect response error, there are something logically he should not have answered, but he has answered. So that forms a part of a non-sampling error. Person with just say 5 lakh annual income talking about yes, his interest to buy 100 inch LED television immediately, then there is some illogical aspect there. So you take this as a non-sampling error. Either you can remove this entire response or you refine your findings appropriately. That sample or analysis when you do, you take an appropriate corrective measure. And so these are some of the non-sampling errors that we have seen. Experimental error, you are just experimenting and you considered that contact as a valid contact and it forms a part of the analysis, etc. Defective design of the questionnaire. So it's like questionnaire is not so well structured, and as a result answers are not coming the way it should have been coming to you. So that's a non-sampling error. Interviewer error, interviewer is not able to understand and profile the person to be the right sample or not a right sample, etc. Data processing, so there is data coding error happens, as a result the data gets processed wrongly. Analysis errors, so instead of median you calculated mean and then derived your conclusion, etc. Analysis validity was not done or those aspects. Data interpretation error, yes, at the end interpretation depends on the ability of the person itself. So certain findings presented, now what you conclude out of it is that definitely an individual capabilities and abilities. Now that is a interpreter's error, as they say. So interpreter may have understood that in a particular manner, and therefore he is written certain aspects which is due to non-sampling error in the market research. Total errors. So we have studied the nature of sampling errors and non-sampling errors. So as they say, collective this thing is a total error. So sampling error plus non-sampling error makes it a total error. Estimation of total error in the entire project as such is difficult. There is no way that you derive a total error. However, the estimation of sampling error is possible. And sampling error, when you determine, you will come to know whether your research is within the expected level of sampling error or not. If that is once achieved, then remaining is supposedly not so detrimental to the entire project. Sampling error, as yes, can be minimized or reduced, etc. But of course, you have to play with the sampling size. Now, sampling size, as I have earlier once again also said, is has an impact on time and the cost both. It is a call, that one need to really think and take this thing. So if you have pressurized agency for time and the sampling number budget, then the sampling number which comes in, so there is a related risk of sampling error in that. You have to live with it. So that's the understanding that a company should have. Non-sampling errors also can be reduced. How do you do that? By appointing a competent staff, proper training, sampling frames, practicality of the sampling frames, etc., the control systems, and how do you control that number and selection, etc., how do you direct people where to go and find the right sample and all, determines how do you minimize the non-sampling error, their ability to question, probe, understand there are no conflicting answers in the given questionnaire, etc. So this will help you to minimize the non-sampling errors, so that on one hand you try to minimize the sampling error, the other end you minimize the non-sampling error. So overall the research finding will not be due to the sample error or this thing, it is something that you will get which is applicable to the entire population. So, what you derive as a finding of this research which is done on a limited number of people vis-a-vis your sample population or segment population, as I said earlier also, if that applicability is achieved, means you have chosen a right sample, you have ensured that sampling errors are minimum, non-sampling errors are also minimized, and by using appropriate sampling selection process, you achieve a desired quality output. So we have understood, friends, what is sampling and then various aspects linked to sampling in this chapter. Thank you.